For the first time ever in German history, the country's chancellor is choosing to step down and isn't being forced out of office.
Now, with Germany's elections less than a week away, the top three candidates to succeed Angela Merkel as chancellor faced off for a third television debate.
After 16 years, Angela Merkel is leaving, and the race to replace her has turned out different than anyone might have predicted.
You saw basically the two early front runners crash and burn, and then you had kind of Scholz as the last man standing, effectively.
I'm Jeremy Siegel. This is Politico Dispatch. And today, our Berlin-based chief Europe correspondent, Matt Karnichnig, on the unlikely story of how the not particularly charismatic face of Merkel's rival party has emerged as the front runner to take the reins when she leaves office.
So this is a regular national election. They happen every 4 years. And the expectation was going in that Angela Merkel's party, the Christian Democrats, were more or less going to sail to victory. They had a pretty comfortable lead in the polls. And their candidate, a guy named Armin Laschet, was also seen as somebody who was pretty popular nationally and had what it took to kind of take on Merkel's mantle. But what we've seen over the past couple of months is that his candidacy has basically imploded. So Armin Laschet, the candidate for Merkel's party, is currently the governor of Germany's largest state, which is called North Rhine-Westphalia. And over the summer, that region was hit by pretty devastating floods.
More than 100 people, 120 people have died, and hundreds more are still missing after the worst flooding in parts of Western Europe for several decades. In Germany, emergency crews are searching for dozens who are unaccounted for, with the Chancellor Angela Merkel describing the floods as a catastrophe.
That also affected large parts of Belgium and the Netherlands. And these are really kind of, biblical types of floods that we saw in these regions. And people were, to put it mildly, somewhat underwhelmed by his reaction to what happened there. And these are usually situations where citizens expect leaders to rise to the occasion. And in Laschet's case, he was caught on video laughing at an appearance by the German president. The German president was in the region, in the flood zone, trying to console victims.
Und diese Hilfe, die zugesagt ist, soll auch gelten für die Gemeinden.
And there were pictures of Laschet in the background, joking with his colleagues. And these pictures, even though, to be fair, seem to have been taken out of context, really kind of undermined him in a fundamental way, because the message of his candidacy was that he was a very genuine person, somebody people could trust. And when you look at these pictures, he looked kind of, more like a cynical politician. And he really kind of has struggled to recover from that ever since. And there were other factors at play there. He was accused of plagiarism, which he wasn't really, completely able to dispute. And then there were just sort of overall overarching questions about whether he has the kind of ability to run Europe's largest country.
Now, Germany's conservatives are kicking off the final stage of their campaign ahead of September's national elections. Chancellor Angela Merkel will be hoping to boost the flagging poll numbers of her would-be successor, Armin Laschet. But polls show voters in general and even some members of Laschet's own party are not happy with what's been seen so far as a gaffe-filled campaign by Laschet.
They've lost about a third of their support in the polls. They're no longer the front runners. They've been overtaken by the Social Democrats, which are the main center-left party in Germany, probably a bit closer to the Democratic Party in the U.S., and their candidate is a guy named Olaf Scholz, who is currently the finance minister in Merkel's government.
Wir haben sehr lange und sehr gut zusammengearbeitet, schon einmal in der ersten Regierung Merkel als Arbeitsminister, dann als
he's extremely popular, even though he's not the most outgoing character. But there's a sense that he's a safe pair of hands, someone who's going to continue to run Germany in the same mold as Merkel has. He's very much a centrist. And people, you know, have really responded to him quite positively. And even though he, as an individual, was always quite popular, his party was trailing in the polls for months. And the shift we've seen over the summer really is that his party has kind of caught up with him in terms of popularity.
Bad news for the Green Party. Just 4 weeks ago, the Greens had overtaken the CDU, but since then, they've been losing ground, leaving many wondering if they'll run out of steam.
The other important player in all of this has been the candidate for the Greens, a woman named Annalena Baerbock, who's a fairly young politician. She's just 40 years old, which is young by German standards. And there was also a lot of hope in the Green Party and on kind of the left of the political spectrum in Germany that, you know, that she herself could become chancellor, that the Greens had a chance here at the beginning of the campaign to win the election for the first time. But they have also more or less imploded for similar reasons. There are questions about her qualifications. She's never held executive experience at this level or really at any level. So as we head into the weekend, we're really looking at a likely victory for the Social Democrats under Olaf Scholz. And the question then becomes, well, what kind of coalition will the Social Democrats try to build after Election Day?
So now you have a situation where a new party is on track to take over control after 16 years under Chancellor Angela Merkel. 16 years is a long time. I mean, especially, you know, for me, thinking about U.S. elections where you can't hold office for more than 8 years total. After 16 years under Merkel, what do you think this shift politically will mean for Germany?
Well, I think it's probably healthy in the grander scheme of things, because as you say, 16 years is a very long time for one party to effectively be running things. And given that these parties are all fairly moderate, I don't think you're going to see a massive shift in the policies, unless the Social Democrats decide to form a kind of leftist coalition, which is a possibility. It's an outside possibility, but one of the potential coalitions that could emerge from this election, according to the polls now, would be a combination of the Social Democrats, the Greens, and a party which is known simply as the Left, which is rooted in the former Communist Party of East Germany. And if that were to happen, I think that you could see much more progressive policies than we've seen in Germany over the past 16 years.
Hmm. Interesting. I mentioned that this is kind of an end of an era with Merkel leaving office. She's the first German chancellor to do so on her own volition. What do you think her legacy will be?
I think, you know, historians will debate this for many years, because she doesn't have one signature achievement. If you think about Helmut Kohl, who ushered in German reunification, it's pretty clear. Or somebody like Willy Brandt, who was the chancellor of Germany in the early 70s, who kind of pursued détente with the Soviets. But with Merkel, it's less clear. I think the sense is generally here that she's done a very good job of managing various crises that have hit Germany and Europe over the past 16 years, that she's kept the country from sort of, fracturing. She's prevented ultimately the kind of extremist tendencies that we've seen in other parts of Europe. But, you know, at the end of the day, there's not one thing I think that you can point to say that she's really achieved.
Mm. Before I let you go, beyond the fact that this, you know, is an election that looks like it's going to have a surprising result, where you could end up having a far more liberal coalition in charge of Germany's government than previously. Beyond the politics of that, why is this an election that people should be keeping a close eye on right now?
Well, I think the first reason is that Germany is the largest country in Europe, the largest economy. Europe's course depends to a great degree on what happens in Germany. So the next leader of Germany will likely be the de facto leader of Europe, just as was the case with Merkel. The other reason is that we're at a kind of, you know, hinge point in history. There's a lot going on outside of Europe at the moment, but Europe will play an important role in a lot of these questions, whether it involves China and the West's approach to China or Russia. So, you know, I think that wherever Europe is an important player, Germany will also be a central actor, and it's worth understanding what's going on here.
Matt Karnitschnig, thanks so much for talking with me.
Thank you.
Also, today, U.S. manufacturing companies are pressing the Biden administration to abandon World Trade Organization talks on waiving intellectual property protections for COVID vaccines as a means to speed up the availability of the life-saving medicines. In a letter to top U.S. officials, the National Association of Manufacturers urged the administration to instead rally countries around a set of other trade actions, like cutting tariffs on medical goods and limiting export restrictions that they said would be more effective in fighting the pandemic. The move comes as President Biden is preparing to host government and business leaders for a virtual COVID-19 summit on Wednesday, where he's expected to push for a goal of fully vaccinating 70% of the world's population within the next year. And the Biden administration is buying at least 60 million over-the-counter COVID-19 test kits from four diagnostic manufacturers. The move comes after Biden announced earlier this month that the federal government was preparing to use nearly $2 billion to buy 280 million at-home kits to build U.S. stockpiles. The White House's plan also calls for 25 million free at-home tests to be distributed to community health centers and food banks, and expanded free testing at 10,000 pharmacy locations. Today's episode of Politico Dispatch included music composed by Breakmaster Cylinder. If you haven't yet, be sure to fill out our podcast survey. For real, we want to hear from you. Just go to politico.com/podsurvey or check out the link in this episode's show notes. I'm Jeremy Siegel. Thanks for listening.